The following audio is from Hope Hill Church. To learn more about Hope Hill Church, please visit hopehillchurch.org.
So a couple weeks ago, we started this brand new series called Fear Not. If you've missed the first week, you can catch it on the podcast, hopehillchurch.org. And if you want to catch up any of our past messages, they're all there for you from the past 5 years. So you'll have a good time listening to them all. We want to welcome you here this morning as we dive into part two of our series. We'll continue our series on Christmas Eve as we look at the third story from the birth of Jesus and the coming of our King. Three times angels appeared to different individuals and said, "Fear not." Today we're going to look at the life of Joseph and how many times in life, like Joseph, what we can be afraid of is what other people think. What we can be afraid of is what's going on in our life and the criticism that we might receive for the choices that we feel led to make. We're going to look at the life of Joseph, and hopefully, my hope and prayer is that you're inspired and the Holy Spirit speaks to you as an individual on what it is in your life that you're possibly hiding behind because of fear and being set free to live a life of faith that God is calling us to. The last time we talked about Mary, and we looked at how Mary at first was afraid of what God was asking her to do. At first, the angel came and said to this teenage girl engaged to be married, spoke to her and said, "Mary, you're going to give birth to the King of Kings." And her whole life was changed. Today, the news is going to be brought to Joseph, and we're going to see how he reacts out of fear at first. But eventually, let's faith take over. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 1 with me. And we're going to dive in to this subject today. Before we do that, as you turn, by raise of hands, how many here would admit that there have been times in your life when you've been afraid of what other people might think of you? Go and raise your hand. Okay, that's a lot of hands. Look around. Put your hands back up. Look around. If you see someone not raising their hand, it's because they're afraid of what you might think of them. Fear of what others think of us, often it's a common thing. Many of us go through this phase as a teenager. One of the greatest struggles as a teenager is wanting to be accepted. How do we fit in? Am I dressed right? Am I wearing the right things? Am I going to fit into that group? But those things as teenagers don't always go away as adults. Many times we fear, am I driving the right car? Do I have the right kind of house? Is my lawn taken care of the right way? Don't look at mine because it's not. There's many things that we struggle with. Am I gonna be accepted? We're gonna take a selfie. If I hold it up here, I've got fewer chins than down here. We want to be accepted. We want to be approved. We want people to like us and like the things about us. And we're gonna see that this struggle oftentimes can become, am I living for the approval of people? Or am I living for the approval of God? Am I living for the acceptance and the appreciation of others? Or is God's calling the most important thing in my life? So we're going to see Joseph in this battle, this struggle. We enter this story and Joseph and Mary are engaged. Now, engagement back then is a little different than what it is today. Today, if in an engagement, if something goes a little weird, you can just call it off. You know, people have called off weddings just days before the actual ceremony. It's actually not that big of a deal. And in fact, it's sometimes encouraged. You know, if you're not sure, just call it off. But back then, things were completely different. Engagement was binding. It was a year-long process. If you were engaged to another person, it was really contractual. Two families committing to each other, not just two individuals. And in order to break an engagement back then, you literally had to enter a divorce proceeding. To break an engagement, it was the same thing as we have now with divorce. It was serious. It was big. And what's happening here is that Joseph gets some news and he is like, "What am I going to do?" And we see the struggle beats him up. It causes him to worry. How do I get out of this situation? Back then, there were only two ways really out of an engagement, either a divorce or a death. If your fiance died during an engagement, you literally were looked at as a widow or a widower. It was looked at that seriously. And Joseph, he gets this news. And for some of you, this may be news to you. You thought the Mary and Joseph story was just a cute little Christmas story. But here we see Joseph really freaking out. Matthew 1:18, it says this. This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. So imagine that conversation. It must have been very odd, right? We talked about this 2 weeks ago. Mary calls and says, Joseph, I've got some news to tell you. You're sitting down. I had a visitor last night and now I'm pregnant. Don't jump to any conclusions. It was through the Holy Spirit. And you can imagine what's going through Joseph's mind. He's like, how long did it take you to come up with that story? I saw the way that guy was checking you out at the well. And it just goes downhill from there. You know, Joseph's like freaking out. He doesn't know exactly what to think of this whole situation. And He looks at her and he's ready to be done. We don't know the exact state of mind and exactly the conversation, but it must have been awkward. And where do we get this from? There's really two options that's going through his mind from a human perspective. If you set aside the fact that what she's saying is true, and we now know that it is, but at that moment, Joseph is looking at Mary, his fiance, and is like, you're either lying or you're crazy. And either way, I'm not sure I want to continue in this process. And in fact, because of what's happened, they're marked for life. Their life is forever changed. Even if what she's saying true, this is now going to be difficult. She's not married yet. To be found pregnant out of wedlock was punishable by death. The second thing is, he's now, If I'm going to claim to be the father, then people in the community aren't going to respect me anymore. I'm going to take my donkey in for an oil change, and they're going to say, we don't do your kind here. It's going to be awkward, okay? It's not going to go well. And so Joseph is freaking out. Joseph had to weigh these options. He had to weigh, am I going to stick in this situation, or I gotta find some way to bow out of this. In Matthew 1:19, it says this. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the what? Faithful to the law. And yet, out of love for her, and yet he did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to what? Divorce her quietly. A lot of scholars and commentaries read that this was actually a noble act. He could have easily just said, I'm done with you. He could have easily, the easy way out to save his own reputation and to make it so that his life wasn't hard going forward was to say, it's not mine. I don't know what she's talking about. And according to that custom and law, she would have been banished or even put to death because of this situation. And yet, out of love and care for her, he still has decided, this is over. We've got to be divorced, but in order to honor you, we'll do it quietly. And so, we see the struggle begin to happen in his mind. Either he doesn't believe her, or he doesn't want to take the heat. If what she's saying is true, he's not sure he can handle it. And he's about to learn one of the most important lessons that any of us can learn in life. If you're taking notes, this is in your handout today. It says this, pleasing God often means disappointing people. Pleasing God often means disappointing people. There are going to be times in your life, I guarantee it, if you are a follower of Christ, there are going to be certain situations and circumstances that arise where God wants you to do something that people would look at you and think you are crazy. Or you're just a little unwise. There are going to be times when following God disappoints those around you. And Joseph is thinking about these things. Look at verse 20. It says, after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David. The King James Version says, fear not. The version we're reading from today says, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. And the most powerful, some of the most powerful words in Scripture follow. In verse 21, it says, she will give birth to a son. You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will what? Save his people from their sins. So he awakes from this dream, and can you imagine this swing of emotions? He's been hearing for years the prophecies of this coming king. The prophets foretold a Messiah that would come that save their people, not just from their sins, but they're hoping from this Roman rule, from the tragedies and the suffering and the persecution they've been under as a people. They've been waiting for this coming king, and he's feeling this exciting honor that somehow I might be able to be a part of this. At the same time, the huge swing the other way of not, man, this is going to be difficult. What is everybody going to think? How am I going to explain this to, oh my goodness, to be chosen in this way, to how in the world are we going to deal with the struggle and the accusations that come and this swing of emotions going back and forth? Do I do what's easy and bow out of this? Or do I take the honor and the position and deal with the criticism that is bound to come and step forward in faith? Should I obey God? Or should I do what makes more sense? This is the question that's going to come to all of us at different times in our life. The question to do what is easier and what makes sense in the eyes of others, or to do what sometimes is unexplainable and just simply take a step of faith and moving forward with God. I want to give you a couple points today. First of all, if you start to live a life where becoming obsessed with what people think about you, that is going to be the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. Let me say that again. Becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget what God thinks about you. The truth is that most of us, even myself included in the statement, is that we drift towards wanting to please people. We drift towards wanting the attention and the approval of others. It consumes us. Social media is bent on this. That's why there's this like button after every post, and we want it. We want to be liked. We want to be accepted. And the more we live this kind of way, living for the approval and the attention and the acceptance, becoming obsessed with what people think, it's the quickest way to forget what God thinks about us. And without realizing it, we quickly slip into this way of living life, trying to please others instead of trying to please God. But the flip side of this statement is also true. The flip side of this is that if you really want to focus on God, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and God will take care of the rest. The statement is also true when reversed. Becoming obsessed with God and with what God thinks about you is the quickest way to forget what others think about you. So, how can we change our life? How can we start to live and embrace not living for the audience and the acceptance of all around us, but for the audience and acceptance of one? God has called us to live a life of worship of Him, of bringing glory to Him in all that we do, living a life for the audience of one. The truth is that you can try to do what seems easy and live for the acceptance and approval of others, but it's impossible to please everyone. You ever tried that? get four people together today and decide, hey, we're going to have lunch with one another and then try to pick a place to eat. Right? In my family, it's the elimination game because no one ever wants to pick it. So I'll eliminate that one. It's easier to say that. But we go through this struggle that sometimes we'll pick a side. Now, I don't want to go to the far right or the far left because all the people over there won't like me and all the people over there. And so we stand in the middle and then nobody likes you. The truth is that trying to live for the acceptance and approval of others is often more difficult than we realize. And you can't please everyone. But there is something you can do. You can please God. You can decide instead of playing that game to say, from this point forward, God, help me to live for your heart. Help me to live for your will. Help me to do what you want, what will please you. And yes, there's going to come times of criticism when living for God, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. You can't please everyone, but you can please God. And Joseph has to get to a place where he values the opinion of God higher than the opinion of those around him. So how does this play out in our everyday lives? In your notes, a couple key points that are good for you to use as takeaways today. Number one, if we're gonna decide, all right, I want to live for God, I want to try to do this right, I want to try to walk this journey with him. Number one, if you're not ready to be criticized for your obedience to God, then you're not ready to be used by God. Did you catch that? I'm going to say it again. It's in your notes. You can write it down. If you're not ready to be criticized for your obedience to God, then you're not ready to be used by God. Can you imagine the grief that Joseph and Mary are about to face? People are going to, even if they were told the exact truth, which they eventually are, people are going to talk. They're going to accuse. They're going to point fingers. I know they're saying it was from the Holy Spirit, but I saw his donkey outside her house at 2:00 in the morning, and I doubt they were doing Bible study. People are going to talk. When we decide to do what's right, people are going to point fingers and they're going to criticize. The whispering, the gossip that did come. God's word at times is going to lead you to do something that the world thinks does not make sense. There are going to be times when you feel like God is wanting you to go forward and there seems to be a wall there. But God has a way of leading us to crush walls that stand in our way. God has a way of leading his people to circle obstacles until they fall down in obedience to him. God is looking for someone willing to follow him despite the things that don't make sense. Are you willing to take a stand? There are going to be times when, as a student, either high school or college, where your friends are living this kind of lifestyle and you see in your own life that it's only taking you down and bringing pain in your life, and you're going to feel like, I've got to stop living that. I got to stop partying. I got to stop drinking. I got to stop doing the drugs. And I may lose some friends over it, but guess what? If you lose those friends, they were never friends to begin with. In a couple months, you're going to get to hear a powerful story of one of our students who decided he could not. He was being dragged down into just mire and muck in that lifestyle. And God has transformed his heart. Now he's wanting to be used to help lead others to see that truth. There are going to be times when God leads you to do something that doesn't make sense, to live for purity. In this day and age, if you become an adult and are still a virgin, it's like something's wrong with you. You see these reality shows out there where there's all these people and one person who's pure, they're tied. Oh, that's the virgin. Nobody lives for purity anymore in our society. But God calls us to live ways that are different, that aren't always culturally acceptable. Maybe it's not turning from something bad. Maybe it's deciding to continue to do something that doesn't make sense. Maybe you've been offered a job that has higher pay. And, you know, money is important, right? But it's going to take you away from your family more. you're going to have to commit and maybe drop some things that God has you doing. You got to weigh it. God, what do you want me to do? Maybe it is that God's wanting you to take this other job. But is it just so that you can have more, or is He leading you into a place where you can be blessed more so that you can be a blessing in greater ways? Maybe God's leading you to take a job where there's lower pay. I've heard stories from a few of you. You moved to this area, you're working now for a nonprofit organization, or you're doing something where you're doing more of what's in line with your heartbeat, and in line with what God wants you doing. And you've stepped away from a higher paying job to do what God's called you to do. What is it that God is calling you to do that others would look at you and say, why did you do that? What God wants you to do is more important than what others think. And so, sometimes doing things God's way does not make sense. Sometimes it will bring criticism. But a key leadership principle that we all need to take away today is that the more you do for God and for good, the more pain you're going to experience. Those who make the biggest difference in life experience the most pain. If you want to live a life that is carefree and there's no criticism, then do nothing. Relax. Live life to the fullest. Live life trying to just make it to the top and do the best you can. Don't rock the boat. But God doesn't have that kind of life in store for any of us. God's put us here to live for Him and to make a difference. And many times that's going to bring criticism. It's going to bring strange looks. But again, it's worth it. Everything significant that we have been called to do as a family has many times brought a little discomfort, or sometimes a lot of discomfort. Brandy and I celebrated 22 years of marriage this week. And all our life, I've looked to her as a friend and a partner. And we have together said, okay, God, the way you've blessed us, we want to take care of those around us. And so many of you know, you come to my house almost any time of day, you can just walk straight in. The door is hardly ever locked. I used to say never locked, but we're changing that a little. We've got teenage girls. And we've had many people share our home with us, some for extended periods of time. God, our home is your home. You've blessed us with this so that we could bless others. And there's been times where we've had friends saying, why do you always have people in your house? Sometimes we ask each other that. But we're here to take care of others. We're here to do what we can to help others, to help ultimately lead others to know the love of Jesus. There have been times in our lives where God has led us to take some steps that were risky. Planting this church was one of them. I had friends, I had people in my life saying, why are you leaving that good paying job? I was working in ministry. I was working at First Baptist Church. My future pretty much good to go. Good benefits packages, good salary in a large church. No worries of it folding. And why'd we do this? Well, there's great reasons we've done it. Last week was one of those huge reasons. Last week, I heard from some of you. How many of you were here last week? Some of the comments I heard last week were, this was amazing. This was eye-opening. This was life-changing. Some of you said, this was chaos, which there were times it felt like it was. But God has led us to live lives of messiness and to be in the midst of chaos, but bring truth. Last week, it was so amazing. Is for those of you that had the ability to see it, at the end of our opening program, we brought, I don't even remember how many, but we filled that back gym behind us. And Dariel got up and shared the message, both in English and Spanish. He would say one sentence in English and then repeat the same thing in Spanish. Unfortunately, it doubled the length of the message. You think I preach a lot? No, I'm just joking with you, Daddy-O, wherever you are. But at the end of that, 32 people in that room stood up when he said, if you want to receive the greatest gift ever given, the gift of eternal life through Jesus, and want to give your heart to him, stand up. 32 people in that room stood up last week. 32 people. Where are you? This is what it's all about. It doesn't matter how hard it gets. It doesn't matter the criticism that we receive. For years, I had coaches. I go, as a church plant, I go to coaching seminars on how to do things right as a church plant. And when I share with them some of the stories we do here that are part of our heartbeat at Hope Hill Church, some of them have literally said, we wouldn't advise that you continue doing that. So many times we're out giving and we're, instead of, you know, some of the things they were saying was you should host these block parties in affluent neighborhoods so that people with lots of money will come and join your church and then you'll have money to take care of people. It's like, no, we're not going to do a party for rich people. Let's go to the trailer park and give stuff away. Let's not ask them for money. And the free sales started. And then we kept going to these communities and giving away pies and going out and taking care of those. And even some of our own at times said, where's the fruit? We keep giving, giving, giving. And where, what change are we seeing? Last year, one of the families we've been reaching out to year after year after year, their daughter became old enough and started attending youth group, and she went to summer camp with us. And at that camp, she gave her heart to Jesus. A month later, we baptized her here at church. And last week, her dad was helping translate the message. Now, that's fruit. It took 5 years, but it's worth it. How many of you have ever gardened, planted seed? It doesn't always come up the next day, does it? But the time we take to invest is what makes it worth it. And last week, seeing 32 people who we had maybe touched, some of them we had touched every year for the last 5 years. And finally, their hearts were open to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And guys, this is just the beginning. We are getting so excited for the vision that God is showing us to become more established through the establishment of Hope Houses. Houses that we own, that some of you will live in these communities, and you will become missionaries 24/7 in those communities, meeting those in need, tutoring children after school, providing a safe home for children to live in through foster care, providing situations where people can come to the home and knock on the door and say, we don't have anything for dinner, and giving them food out of the food closet in your home. Some of you are going to be the people ministering and living in them. Some of you are going to be showing up on the weekends to do minister to those communities. It's already happening, but we see even more of it growing. We see the establishment of something called Hope Centers, where these are places in the community, not stained glass cathedrals for us to hold glorified worship services in, but communities that will bring life, transformation, and change to those in this community who have needs that we can meet as the hands and feet of Jesus. And many people will say, why are you doing it that way? Criticism's going to come. But if it wasn't coming, then we'd probably not be doing something right. We need to step out and embrace the call, even when those around us think it's not the best choice. So, becoming obsessed with what people think about you is the quickest way to forget about what God thinks about you. Number two, becoming obsessed with what God thinks about you is the quickest way to forget what people think about you. So, how do we do this? It starts with point number two. Extraordinary acts of God often start with ordinary acts of obedience. 2 weeks ago, I mentioned this. Look back. The birth of the Savior of mankind came through, and this young teenage girl was able to be a part of that simply because she said yes. She said, Lord, whatever you've said, let it happen. Remember that the outcome is up to who? The outcome is up to God. Obedience is up to us. And so as we learn to simply say, okay, God, I'm ready to obey. The outcome is God's responsibility. The obedience is ours. And they didn't know the details. When the angel showed up and said, here, you're going to have a baby. It wasn't like, well, before we say yes and agree to this, we need to know how X, Y, and Z are going to happen in steps 1, 2, 3. Some of you are wired that way. Some of you are type A, type A's. And you want to know every single detail. Leave the details to God. Seek first the kingdom of God, and God will take care of the rest. When God called Abram to leave everything he had, his homeland, his nation, his people, in Genesis chapter 12, he said, go to a land that I will show you. He didn't even tell him where he was going. He just said, let's go, Abraham. And Abraham was like, okay, God, I'm yours. Let's go. And now the world has been blessed through him. And the same way, it is important for us to simply obey. You have no idea what kind of things you can be setting into motion out of just one simple step of obedience. And you don't have to understand completely to obey immediately. When we hear God's voice, are we ready to simply say, okay, God, you're in control, you're leading us, we're ready to obey. So, my hope and my excitement is as we look at this life, we would first of all live lives that glorify God, that seek to live for Him, the audience of one, to put Him first, and to not live for the acceptance and the approval of others. So, what will you do with this? Maybe God's leading you to invite someone to Christmas Eve service. Don't worry about what's the worst they can say? No? I mean, sure, you have thoughts in your mind like, well, they're going to put a burning cross on my desk or something when I come back. It's not going to be that bad, okay? Invite them. They might say yes. Maybe it's to start serving in church. Do you know that the more I talk about our setup and teardown team, the smaller it's getting? That's not funny. Actually, I'm very grateful because the last couple of weeks we've had one or two new people show up each week. But unfortunately, they were the only ones to show up. There's like 60, 70 men that are a regular part of this church. We need you guys to start stepping up. God is calling you. If it's not God, it's me. I'm asking you to consider serving 1 week a month. But in all, I don't want it to be out of guilt. I'm not trying to twist your arm. I'm wanting you to go where you feel God's heart is leading you. So pray about it. This church, we've got great things ahead of us, but it's going to take all of us chipping in. We need people serving in children's ministry, youth ministry. Just because Eric has showed up does not mean... Where's our youth leaders? Raise your hand if you're a youth leader. There's more than that in here. Raise them high. Okay. You guys, just because he's here doesn't mean you can quit, okay? He's now here to work alongside you. And we need others to join up with this team. Sometimes we got 80 teenagers ready to be loved on, and we need more of you willing to love on them. And we've got home Bible studies, community groups, missions projects, places for you to plug in to serve. Where is God leading you to serve? Your neighbor might say to you, why are you going to start doing that? Don't you? You already go to church once a week. What is God leading you to do? Maybe it's to start giving towards the vision that God has for this church. Start investing. Start tithing in what God's doing here. I don't know how we're going to make ends meet. Put God first, he says. Test him in this and see that he won't open the floodgates of heaven. Seek him first and he'll take care of the rest. Maybe God's leading you to become a foster family. Maybe God's leading you to adopt a child in need. We met with the county, was it last week? Monday. Kim and Brandy and I went and met with the county. And they said one of their greatest needs in this county is adoption of teenagers. Foster homes for teenagers. They're begging for it. When we presented to them some of the ideas and the visions we have as a church, they were like, yes, we'll get behind it. We need it. So now we need some of you to say, okay, we'll be the foster parents. Do you know you can have 8 in your home without a license? Who's first? Actually, I think we already have a couple. I've already said we'll take a few. But they're serious. They say, we'll give you a 2-month training and you'll be good to go. It's kind of funny, but how many of you had to take a test before you got pregnant? You took a test to see if you were pregnant, but nobody has to be tested to become a parent. They just said, we'll stand behind you. It's not that difficult. We just need some adults who are ready to love on some kids that need love. And we as a church want to be that kind of people. We're here to meet those kinds of needs. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. Let's do what God wants us to do. We have no idea what kind of things will be set in motion if we simply become a people obedient to God and His calling in our life. So let's bring things to a close. Joseph had to discover what it meant to put the opinion of God before the opinion of others. He had to discover that becoming obsessed with what people think would make him forget what God was wanting him to do. Instead, he had to focus and become obsessed with what God was calling him to do. In Matthew 1:24, it says this: when Joseph woke up, he did what? He did what? He did exactly what the angel of the Lord commanded him. And he took Mary home as his wife. Today, God is speaking to you. God is calling you to do some things that may not make sense, that you don't have figured out, but God's calling you to do it. There was an old guy, I don't know how old he was, but when I was a teenager, everybody seemed old, and this old guy came up to me in my church after I had went forward one Sunday, and I said, I think God wants me to become a youth pastor one day. And he said, why would you do that? You got so many other options. Are you sure? I was like, I really think this is what God wants me to do. And he said those words that I keep repeating. He said, let this be your life verse. Seek first the kingdom of God and let God take care of the rest. God will never call you to do something that He won't enable you to do. What is it that God's calling you to do? I believe I know what God's calling us as a church to do, but it's going to take you and I doing it together. Are you ready? Are you ready to join the setup team? We need it. I'm telling you, I'm sick of hearing from those guys every week. If somebody else doesn't come, I'm quitting. We have people here every single... Let's pray. God, thank you so much for your love for us. Thank you so much for the privilege that we have to be a part of what you're doing. Thank you so much for the faithfulness of those who show up every week and set up and tear down. Thank you so much for the faithfulness of those in our congregation who go out to the poor communities in our neighborhood and wash hands and feet by being the hands and feet that meet needs. God, thank you for the 32 people who stood up last week to say, I want you in my life as my Savior and Lord. God, thank you that we get to be a part of what you're doing and bringing life change to this community. God, set us on fire. Help us to be consumed by your Holy Spirit so all that matters is you and your heartbeat and your calling in our life. Not being obsessed with the acceptance and approval of others, but God, making you number one, first in our lives, living for you, an audience of one. God, as we begin to take steps, one step at a time, help us to just embrace them fully, holding on to you as our Lord and our leader, not worrying about the details. But God, we know you have a plan, so reveal them to us one step at a time as we follow you. God, thank you for the faithfulness of those in this room who are allowing us to do these outreaches, who are funding the vision that we have, who are getting out and serving. God, thank you for families like the Gillespies who sorted toys for weeks so that we could give them out to meet families' needs this Christmas morning. God, thank you. Multiply what you're doing here among us. Set our hearts on fire for you. God, we know that the plans that you're unfolding have only just begun. Help us, like Joseph, to wake up from these dreams saying, God, let whatever you've said be true. Help us to do exactly what you've commanded us. God, I also pray for those in this room who may have never opened up their heart to you, that they wouldn't just see what's happening here this morning as some religious practice, but God, they would understand that you are a real personal God, that your Son came down to this earth. You lived a life for us and died on a cross for us, paying for our sin and our shame. God, help their hearts to be opened by your Holy Spirit as they reach out to you now, embracing your love. If you've never accepted the love and forgiveness of Jesus, you can do it right in here, right now. Just call out to him and say, come into my life, Lord. Make me new. Show me what it means to live for you. I ask forgiveness of my sins. Help me now to turn to follow you. Thank you for dying on a cross for me in my place. Help me to turn from the things that I do are wrong. Help me to live for you. God, I pray for those in this room who may have prayed that prayer. Help them to realize they just asked for the greatest gift to ever be given as their life has changed. God, thank you for inviting us to be a part of your work in this area. Let us lift one another up in prayer. If you gave your heart to Jesus today, come let me know. I want to celebrate that with you. Listen to God's voice and respond as He leads you.